fucking festies.
Many of them are, yes.
Many of them are. 12-foot dinghies.
Also that.
The rest are shrimp boats.
Shrimp boats is good. Write that down.
Greetings, Afropussy. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Afropop Nothing Podcast.
Yay!
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we're drinking booze.
We are. Yay, we booze. Sure are. Yeah.
What are we drinking, yeah, James?
Jenna, do you want to talk us through? Immediate car crash sound effect.
No, this one's my favorite, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but he's the engineer. Okay.
He fine. Is the engineer.
And as engineer, I'm making
but
a critical
decision. We are
drinking
the Cutwater Rum Mint Mojito, which is my favorite canned cocktail. Mojitos are one of my favorite drinks. Mm-hmm. Cutwater makes a fantastic mm-hmm. one. I've had many other canned mojitos, and they are not,
mm-hmm.
not
created equal.
As quality as this. Mm-hmm. So... I recommend have you some.
Yeah, but what about the mint? Do you like mint, Jenna?
Fuck off.
Never had a mint, Jenna.
Really? You haven't? It's like a mint mojito, but bitter.
Oh, fuck. Mid-sip.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh... So yeah, my mint mojito, my fave,
mm-hmm. is tasty.
Is this the last canned cocktail?
It is.
It's the last cock. Much less popular film than the last unicorn, or even the last samurai.
The last canned cocktail.
Oh well, we'll have to figure out what we're doing next time then.
After this,
I may.
Thank you for saving my favorite. For
and
last.
Cunning plan. Mm.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It is quick. Is this? Would this go with the peppermint or the spearmint? Would you say?
It would be closer to a spearmint. Mm-hmm. Might actually be a wild mint.
Ooh.
But there is a...
I didn't know that was a
oh,
thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There are many different kinds of mints. There is actually a mint that is grown specifically mm-hmm. for mojitos that is called a mojito mint.
Oh.
But, yeah, I could not tell you without looking at ingredients if that is what...
It's because all
lime and mint soda.
Tastes the same.
Yeah. It does not. It does not.
What?
Anyway. But a mojito mint is actually, in general, closer to wild mint than anything. Wild mint is a specific mint as well.
Hmm.
Wild mint.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, bam, bam.
You Where make my heart. Mint.
My favorite scent combination is actually wild mint and wild lavender. Wild lavender is more earthy and less floral than other forms of lavender. And yeah, wild mint and wild lavender. It's a wild scent.
I prefer a nice domesticated lavender.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Boring.
Yep.
Even your 1950s mint sensibilities.
Yep.
I want my mint to have a tight haircut and a...
And a job.
And a job.
That's
and a wife with 2.5 kids.
Yeah, it's the half
They started
kid
with three kids,
concerning.
But...
But this was the nuclear age.
Oh, wow. Oh, Jesus.
This is how superheroes are born.
It's called a nuclear family. Nuclear family. Okay.
I feel like nuclear family is what happened later.
They got zapped, and then they were the new clear family.
Mm.
Somebody, for God's sake, tell us what you've done.
Yeah, what have you done?
The banter section has worn itself out. Moving forward.
Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha.
I don't know. I had a gentacular.
Ooh. Was it a gentacular?
It was a gentacular.
It was pretty gentacular, I must say.
It was pretty fucking gentacular.
On a scale of 1 to gentacular, it was...
Very gentacular.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so anyway, people came over to my house, drank coffee and mm-hmm. mojitos. Joe made some frittatas.
Mm?
Yes. What? frittatas.
I've seen some frittatas in my lifetime.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. No. It was a great pair of frittatas.
Yeah. It was weird when the third one came up, though.
A little smaller than the first. And no, second, and off to the side a little.
We actually ended up using 3 dozen eggs.
Mm. Yeah.
Frittatas take a lot of egg. That's yeah. just mm-hmm. what that is. So.
That's the extended Christmas song. Mm-hmm. 3 dozen eggs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But he was making them with chorizo, and they were yummy.
Yeah. Goddamn.
Yum, yum, yummy.
That does sound good.
Very tasty. Chorizo, spinach, cheese.
Mm-hmm. Onion. Standard stuff. Yeah. Hot sauce. Mm-hmm.
That does sound good.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy
it's quite
frittata.
Lovely. So.
Good conversation had by all.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So much good conversation. Aww. Conversation about like ideas and we talked about the Bible. That was
quite a bit actually.
A little surprising, but you know. kids got to play upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me recommendations for more toys I could have available to them the next time.
I'm sorry. What?
I was like,
they
hey.
Did what?
They did. And they're like, hey, you guys enjoy like what I provided? And they're like, yeah, it was okay. Although the little guys that came with the magnet things are kind of creepy looking. And I'm like, they are kind of creepy looking. You're not wrong about that, kid. Like, I'm not gonna. And I did ask. I was like, what other things should I have?
Okay. If you asked, then we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were just like, Jenna, seriously, you're going to host, come on, pick up your game.
I mean, they had asked about Lego guys before. I was like, what should I have? Mm-hmm. And they're like, because Lego guys are cooler. And I'm like, Lego guys are cooler. Like, you know, I can't fight that argument. But yeah, then I was like, so what should I have? And they're like, Legos. Duh.
There you go.
No, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. They did a good job of picking up. I did find one toy. I know. It was one of the wheels for the magnet set.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. It made me smile.
Make
it was
them
like,
commit Harry Carey later.
Oh, no. It just.
The sport commentator?
Looking at each other. I really hope that translates on an audio cast.
Yeah. All right.
What?
You don't know Harry Carey? Sports commentator.
Mm-hmm.
No.
He's famous.
Yeah.
Especially for baseball, so I understand that may have missed you, but also, no, I just...
Okay.
Some things aren't just for me, Salsa.
90% of what you say is just for you, James.
I'm a very happy person.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, that was really the biggest thing for me as far as doing things. I rewatched all of Avatar cartoon because I'm an addict.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started rewatching Bridgerton.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still an addict. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Otherwise, I've been working on some fencing booth jackets. Which has been taking a lot of my focus and energy and just
fair
not
enough.
Believe it.
Doing that.
You don't want to half-ass those.
No.
No, they have to cover the whole ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I came up with patterns based off of various jackets we already have that are the most used.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have more of the same.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And I have a list of what is needed. I of course, started getting extra creative, and now there's more that I want to make than just the bare minimum. I can't commit to making all the other ones I want to make, but I am committing myself to getting the ones done that are necessary and then figure out things from there. So, yeah, but I have fucking boothy clothing lines set up in my brain. Like it's stupid. Like I need like a spring collection.
I was just about to ask if we were going to see a runway of the summer collection.
We should totally do that down the entrance for the booth.
Oh, get a video.
During setup.
Do a video and then post it on social media.
Dig the tournament lights out.
Yeah.
Mm, all right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Generate some hype on the social medias. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the TikToks or the...
Too sexy for my jacket, but I'm going to wear it anyway because I don't want to get injured.
Yes, just like that.
Too sexy for my mask. Too sexy for my mask, but I'm going to wear it so I keep both of my eyeballs and also my ears.
Yes.
Yep.
What else are you too sexy for, going. James?
That's kind of it. It's a short list.
Gloves?
No, I'm not too sexy for gloves.
Wow.
Gloves are real sexy. Like especially like those long nurse gloves or like the Jessica Rabbit gloves. Those are sexy as fuck. I can't compete.
Do you mean opera gloves?
I don't know. Did Jessica Rabbit ever go to the opera?
No, but they're gloves Jessica gloves. Rabbit wore are called opera gloves because they go past the elbow.
Oh.
It was very specifically worn. Mm-hmm. I think Regency era is when they became most in fashion.
Huh, fair enough.
I've been watching Bridgerton.
I think someone told me that.
It was probably salsa.
Yep. I was cooking garlics and onions at the time.
I believe it. God damn it. So anyway, but yeah, I've really just been pouring a lot of my time and energy into trying to get that right. And I've been doing that here and there. So the crafting period for like trying to come up with a garment of any kind, like there's a lot of, what if I do this? What if I do this? Taking things apart, pulling them back together, doing a couple of different cuts, things like that. There's also a lot of just conceptualizing too,
sure.
Right? So that's been the past few months. And then I finally got it down to a point where I was like, yes, this is what I'm doing. So I am very excited to have gotten to that point, got the patterns drafted. I can just start cranking them out now. Much like we have a Charlie Brown jacket, there may be other characters coming into play.
Like Calvin.
Oh, well, now I need to add that.
Holy shit, that would be so cute to have, like, a parent tiger-striped one and a tiny Calvin. Shit.
It's not currently on my list. I'll put it on the backlog.
It is now.
I'll put it on the backlog. The one thing is about developing the looks of these various things is that I do want to keep them, like, you know, quote, fest appropriate.
Sure.
There are some characters that are definitely not from a Renaissance era that I'm going to be mimicking in fencing jacket style, but it's still, like, the fabrics themselves, I'm not using print, I'm not using anything like that. Like, it's still, okay, this might not be Renfest, it might be Charlie Brown, but it is, like, you know, in appropriate festival fabric and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now I want to see, I'm going to have to make a little placard that looks like a speech bubble that says something like ye old goodly grief or something for when people want to take pictures of their friends in the Charlie Brown jacket.
Yes.
Tis a fine grief.
Yes.
Tis an fine grief.
Yes.
There you go.
F-Y-N-E an fine grief.
Yes,
Whoa.
Whoa, man.
No, like, whoa, like, what was me? And fine,
ooh.
Whoa. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. I'm going to go fabric shopping. Because what I want to do, I have to have specific material to use. Like, mm-hmm. the fabric itself has to be able to take a hit.
Right.
In fact, I was like, hey, if anybody has this kind of fabric, I'm looking for some of that. And one of my friends was like, what if it's this? And I was like, well, it needs to be able to literally get beat with sticks on the regular,
mm-hmm.
repeatedly, and be able to hold up. And they're like, is there any way I would test that? And I'm like, I hit it with a stick, yeah. repeatedly, like... Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. That's the best I
seems,
got.
Seems like it's all in the description.
And right then they there. Were like, I was really hoping you'd say that. I'm like, all right, my friends like science.
We were just looking for an excuse to hit things. Yes. Mm-hmm. But aren't we all?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I am going to spend some money on that. But like the liner, I'm not overly worried about. I bought some bed sheets at Savers. And that's going to be the liner for the fencing booth jacket.
Nice.
Yeah. It just needs to be something to keep the rest of it,
yeah.
separate.
Intact, so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As the offspring intended.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, actually.
Cool.
James. Most of this prior week was occupied with getting ready for and then attending... convention. Mm. Although I did have a moment that I feel is worth sharing. On Thursday, which was my first day off, I was visiting partner Rachel, mm-hmm. and she was asking me questions about things. And I said, I have no thoughts. I have no thoughts in my brain, but my head is empty. I used all of my brain up earlier this week getting ready to take vacation, and now I have zero brain. I have, in fact, used all of my brain minutes for this billing period, and I will not have more until after my next payment is processed.
I feel like you have used more brain power just saying that than if you had just said, ugh.
Mm. But yeah. It'll be about next Monday the 7th, 8th, Monday the 8th, when the payment goes through and I get more. So, no brains. But the convention was fun. It's a very small con. The name MiniCon is apt.
That's the one I went to growing up, yeah. actually. So,
yeah. It got, you know, 300 to 500 people, which is kind of a lot of people to have in your house, but it's not the size of convention that I'm used to.
Like, it's not the size that counts.
That's also true. In this case, it very definitely was what we were hoping that it would be, because this was a gift from my father, and because he is an undiagnosed autistic man in his 80s now, soon, very soon. We wanted to make sure that we would be taking him to a place where he would fit in well.
Mm.
And so a small sci-fi con that is mostly populated with 50 to 80-year-old dudes is kind of perfect.
Yeah.
So I was sent along as a chaperone.
Gotta That's make adorable. Sure your dad doesn't get a little. gotta make sure you leave room for sort Jesus.
Sort of, weirdly. in younger days, when my dad was 50 or 60,
a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking.
That's pretty
now
true.
Heaven knows.
So, whenever we would misplace him. All I had to do to find him was think back to the last time that I saw someone young and feminine trapped in a place where they had to be pleasant as customer service. Mm-hmm. And he would invariably
be there
telling them the whole everything of everything. And
info dumping.
Yes. And that was what we were trying to avoid. Mm. There was another convention that we could have gone to this weekend, but it was instead of a sci-fi convention for primarily middle-aged folks like myself and older, it's mostly tweens and 20-somethings, and I just don't want to deal with that. Right. So, we brought him, for his Christmas gift, he got a set of badges for this con, with the understanding that I would attend with him, and that he could go and hang out with his Royal Manticorian Navy friends.
Aww. Your dad's a Manticore?
Whoa, yeah.
Oh, buddy, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, he told me all about it the first time I met him.
Say, Jenna, you wouldn't happen to have known pretty much everything about that prior to meeting him, would you?
Thing here or there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that. He ended up going. He had a blast. Hmm. I had a very good time. One of my favorite father-son bonding activities was that the badges... This is one of my favorite things about this con. This year, the badges were little PC boards. And you could, for $5, buy a Switch, 3 lights, and a battery. And
well, it's like a circuit board?
They would, yeah, the badges themselves were a circuit board.
Oh, okay.
And you could opt to pay an extra $5 to get the kit, and then they would provide you a little soldering station where you could put it together so that the little mascot character on it would have light up eyes and a balloon that lights up and it all changes color.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. And so we just spent time putting those together, and then he found other Manticorian Navy guys and disappeared for the weekend, functionally. So... I played a lot of board games. I learned how to play backgammon. I had no idea prior to this.
Really?
It turns out that the person who instructed me on manufacturing flat bows for archery is also quite prolific in the Minnesota backgammon scene.
Interesting.
Participates in tournaments. Yeah.
The Minnesota backgammon scene are three words I was not expecting to hear put together.
Sure. Yeah, it was very unusual for me, too. I found a bunch of board games that I had never played before and had a blast making new friends. And I found out that I snore a good deal more than I thought. When discussing this with my mom, she said, "Yes, I call your father the princess because it is like the princess and the pea. He was once tossing and turning and informed me that there was a wrinkle in the bottom sheet that was causing him distress. He is a very light sleeper." So that was a little tricky. I might get a separate room next year, but I did have fun. I had fun hanging out with my dad.
I mean, you could always just smooth out the sheet, you utter heartless ass.
No, I was snoring, and that kept him awake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was saying, he's...
Breathe right nasal strips.
I wish that worked. I'd be willing to try a lot of different stuff, because I have been snoring more frequently and more loudly. And
I've been thinking of trying a mouth guard out. I bite my tongue in my sleep.
Do you bite your tongue at me?
No, I gnaw on the edges of my tongue, and so I need to get a mouth guard to stop doing that.
Yeah, wow, that sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah, it sucks. Huh. The edges of my tongue are just basically they look like cauliflower.
Aww.
That's extremely rough. I'm so sorry.
It sucks ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, I need to get a mouth guard to help with that. And I've heard they also help with snoring. So, which, if both of my wife and I get those, we might actually have a quiet bedroom for once. Because she tells me I snore, and I know that she snores.
Yeah.
So between the two of us, we lick the platter clean.
Yeah.
I have been told that I snore adorably. I don't know how I feel about that. Because on the one hand, I don't want to be a loud snorer and keep people up. On the other hand, I hate that I do it in a cute way.
It's like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, who was the Muppet that was...
Right? Something like that. I assume I saw something like that. Yes.
I would love to say that my wife snores adorably. Yeah, no. Apparently, we're both loud. we were on vacation sharing a room with my wife's sister and her husband. Mm-hmm. And apparently, my sister-in-law almost killed me with a pillow that night.
That would also solve that problem.
So, apparently, both of us are orators at night. Anyway, anything else? Or are you...
That's basic. Oh, I performed a marriage ceremony at 5 a.m. today.
Gross.
Voluntarily? Yes. Right? So they, I performed the official ceremony with the paperwork, at Fest, very secretly. Don't record this part. Yeah, right.
Okay.
I believe I've talked about it on the podcast before, but, yeah.
You're not good at keeping secrets.
It no, just, I tell people that constantly.
Yeah, you haven't said names yet, so it doesn't really matter.
So what are their names?
Yeah. they took a trip to Ireland to go have a more...
Oh, well, now I know who it is.
...something ceremony. And they were sending me photos of the scenery, and Jesus Christ, it's fucking jaw dropping.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a pretty place. So, I want to go back.
They had me perform sort of a ceremony
over Skype,
sequel over Skype, and since the time difference is about 6 hours,
yeah, they still could have done it at 6 p.m.
They could have done a lot of stuff, but they wanted good lighting, and they had a certain amount of time that they were allowed to be there at a particular time of day.
Gotcha.
And so I recorded a video in case I couldn't be there, but I also elected to be online
to
take part in their day, actually. And I was real glad
I would have just sent the video.
I believe you.
I'm sorry, what time? No.
Yeah, the world doesn't exist.
Nope.
So that was super nice, but it also means that I'm kind of a sleepy potato today.
Sleepy boy.
Yeah, how about you, Salsa? What hockey have you committed? None.
I'm not going to talk about that.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, my wife's hockey season is done. The PWHL are on international tournament break. And the Wild are not doing so hot. I'm still watching. I'm just, there's not as much to really, like, talk about.
Be enthused about. Sure.
Well, I'm still enthused about
you
it. There's just not as much
display
to,
last
there's
night.
Nothing specific to bring up. No, I did do some gaming. Had my sister-in-law and her husband over to play some board games over the weekend. My wife kickstarted a tabletop role-playing game, the name of which I am blanking on right now, but it is a Native American-based...
Oh, Coyote and Crow.
Yes, Coyote and Crow. Thank you. She kickstarted Coyote and Crow.
Hell yes.
And that's not what we played, though.
Okay.
The makers of Coyote and Crow came out with a board game called Wolves. And Wolves is a cooperative game. You play against the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like Mansions of Madness or...
any of the many examples that you could have said.
Oh, sure.
But yes, it is a game in which you play versus the game. And what it is you are all a different, you know, tribe or subgroup of the tribe or whatever it is. And you are trying to survive. And you have different resources that you can gather. You have buffalo, fish, corn. And you're trying to gather these resources because at the end of the round, you need to use those resources. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to eat.
Ah.
And so, if you have gathered enough resources to feed yourself awesome. Mm-hmm. If you have not gathered enough resources to feed yourself, you need to rely on other people.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And what they have extra. So if, you know, so everybody goes around and says, these are the resources that I have. And then they're like, these are the people that are lacking resources. And then
I'm glad you followed that up with resources. Yeah. These are the people that are just lacking. Yeah.
But you then, have been judged.
But then you but then you go around and everybody in turn will give gifts.
Oh. Okay.
And if you are higher status, you can give a gift, but they can refuse the gift.
Okay.
If you are lower status and you give a gift, they have to receive the
gift. Okay. Oh.
But when you give a gift, you get status points.
Huh.
So at the end of every turn, the status has now changed. So there are people who are higher and lower status, and the status changes. Interesting. So on the one hand, everybody has to eat, and you don't know what resources they have in their hand. So if you go, this person has a lot of status, I'm going to refuse their gift, otherwise they're going to get more status, hoping that these people over here have the resources I need that they can give me so that we all survive. But that's a risk.
Yeah.
You know, you take. Do I refuse this gift and hope somebody else has it, or do I take this gift and they get even more stats? And then yeah, you go around, and if everybody has enough food, you move on to the next round. If anybody does not have enough food, you all lose instantly.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yep. It's all or nothing. Everybody lives or everybody dies. So you need to survive.
Yeah, dang.
But as time goes on, as you progress through the game further into further, you know, third round, fourth round, fifth round, the number of resources gets smaller. So you have these cards with resources on them, and as you progress, cards get taken out of your hand. Okay. So you lose resources.
Gotcha.
So by the time you're at the last round, you are quite skint, and you have to gather resources without going over, you know, without busting. So you have to gather enough to survive. But if you gather too much, then you have, it's another problem. And so, yeah, it's quite a fun game. At the end of the game, after eight rounds, whoever, if you all survive, you all win the game.
Excellent.
Whoever has the most status at that point is the chief. They get extra bragging rights, but everybody wins. So we played this game twice. Because the first time we played this game, we'd never played the game. We didn't know what we were doing. Yeah. We're still learning. Very first round, resource gathering. Does everybody have enough food?
Nope.
Nope. We're dead.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. Now we know how this works. Let's start over.
We're going to put everything back in the box. And no? You want to play again? All right.
We made it to the last round before we died of starvation.
Okay.
Because, again, that last round, by the time the last round comes around, you have lost so many resources at that point. The winters are getting harder. And you're just like, I'm desperately trying to get resources, but if I bust, then I'm fucked. And you're,
this really sounds like a game that I would fucking excel at.
Oh, I think you'd love it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, so we're talking about forecasting and figuring out our actuals over several different
cycles, so you're drawing resource cards. Okay, you're drawing resource cards, and you mixed into your deck are these extra cards.
Okay.
If you get two cards, you're fine. You can actually use these cards as wild card resources.
Nice.
Like, these cards are useful. If you get a third card, you have exhausted the land. You cannot use those extra cards as wild cards this turn, and you cannot gather resources next round.
Jesus.
Holy fuck.
So the next round, you just have to rely on what's in your stores and what other people can give you.
Hmm.
So if you exhaust the land in one round, it hurts everyone.
Right. Holy shit.
A lot.
I feel like there might be a lesson of some sort inherent in this
Wild.
Game.
Wild.
Yes.
It is, but at the same about. Time, if you're drawing cards and you draw two of these wild cards at the beginning, you kind of have to go, can everybody feed me this round, or do I just have to keep going and hope that, because otherwise everybody's going to starve this round, you know?
Right.
So it is, there's a lot of that going on. It's just like, I need enough to survive this round without exhausting things and not being able to gather anything next round. It's really genuinely, there are moments where you're just like, I don't know if there's a good answer. We're kind of fucked either way. And yeah, if two of you bust at the same round and neither one of you can gather resources the next round, you're fucked. You're just fucked. Because even if everybody else draws all their resources, I don't know if that's still enough to get you through. So, yeah, it's genuinely a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting game. It really makes you think about those resources that you're
I have no idea that they came out with a board game that's especially a cooperative
one.
It's
called Wolves, and it's quite good.
Fuck.
Quite fun.
Yeah. Do you want to know about super quickly about the three board games that I had not played before and got to play this weekend?
At the con? Sure, yeah.
Just super quickly, Cartographers. Everybody heard of that one. Gets a little map, and you draw yours separately from everyone else. And it's kind of a game of land Tetris to accomplish certain goals. And everybody gets the same items to place on their map somewhere. But how you place it opens up possibilities later or closes them off.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a really thoughtful game. It's super fun. Do recommend. Another one is Kingdomino, where you're doing something sort of similar, but you're choosing...
You're a dominatrix.
Right.
Yep.
You are filling out a map of your kingdom in a 5x5 grid using dominoes that have different land properties to them. And how you decide to fill it out gets you more or fewer points, but also going higher ranked pieces means that you go later in the round next turn. And
have the benefit of seeing what everybody did.
There's kind of an in-depth strategy to it, and I sure as fuck didn't grasp it, but I did okay.
All right.
Yeah. It was very fun. It was extremely quick too, and it seems portable, which is
that's always
nice.
A good thing.
Yeah. The last new one for me was Everdell.
Everdell
is you are an animal mayor of a little village that you are trying to populate, and with creatures and with creatures and constructions, and you also have a central board where you get resources for that, and it's kind of a combination of Lords of Waterdeep and something like
Watership Down.
Lords of Watership Down. Yeah, it's kind of Lords of Watership Down.
Oh my god.
Oh Jesus. it's very cute, it's very cozy and pleasant, but there is some very deep strategy to it.
Okay.
And I enjoyed the shit out of it. It's very good. Plus, if you get the version that has little 3D objects for the tokens, the berries are made out of like a soft squidgy material,
fun.
So they're you can pick them up and like squish them gently, which is extremely
satisfying,
pleasant. Yeah, so and do recommend. Yeah, it was all very fun.
All right, dear listeners, tell us. Have you played any board games recently? Tell us about it. Are they fun? Are they any good? Do you suck? Do they hate them?
Do you suck?
I'm not good with my wording right now. Just tell us about it. We're going to take a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing. Reading rainbow.
Reading rainbow. Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high.
So what do you think? The outro?
Remember when I gave up?
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Oh, shit, I'm James.
Oh. And I'm Jenna. Yep. Oh, you guys. Yeah. Oh, you kids.
Yep. With your newfangled podcasts.
I mean, to be fair, giving up is kind of a prerequisite for being on this show, but... Anyway, hey, Jenna.
Hey, what's Salsa?
It's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Guess who? Stefan Senpai.
Yay, Stefan! Woo-woo!
I'd like to point out to all of our keen-eared listeners that this is the third in a row from Stefan. So there's a whole bunch of you out there who need to step the fuck up. Not that we don't love Stefan, don't get me wrong. We absolutely do.
Absolutely.
But
he deserves a weekend.
Yeah. He's got a kid and stuff. He needs a break. He needs a nap.
Oh, somebody need a nappy nap.
Somebody needs a nap, and it's definitely Stefan.
Yeah.
Because he's got kids and people
honestly,
with kids.
Honestly, he's probably like, I really do.
I really do.
No, he's not going to gainsay this one at all.
No, yeah.
I was like, oh, God, could I please have
He probably out? Started crying very quietly and doesn't know for sure why.
Opening thoughts. Oh, see, just to highlight what I'm saying, opening thoughts, I need earlier notice if you want a Fast Five before you start recording. So
we try to provide it at the end of every show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We give plenty of notice.
Yeah. I mean, this is the only Fast Five in the hopper that we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we need another one for next
this
week.
This is your notice now.
Listening.
Jesus.
Five questions.
Question number one.
10 possible answers.
Tool or Rush?
Oh. Maybe it says a lot about me that Rush is maybe the answer. They're both really good.
I'm tempted to say, though, that it's not going to be music. That's a blind. The bluff.
Ooh.
Like, he's using music. That it makes us instantly go, oh, yeah, I know those bands, when it's actually like, do you like to use tools in order to do a thing, or do you just like to hurry up?
Do you like toys that require tools? Or
the little cars. Do you want a wind-up car that you need to use a tool on? Or do you want the ones where you just need to, like, wind up the...
Pull them back and it goes...
No, that you push forward to get the spark wheel.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so, yeah, no, that's what I'm going with. I'm going with... Ooh, no, definitely the Rush one.
Definitely Rush for that.
You can get those suckers really moving.
Given a choice between the Little Tykes like a garage tool set and the Little Tykes like lunch rush McDonald's set, I think I would choose the tools. Yeah.
I like both of those bands.
Yeah. They're both kind of high school bands, but I'm still pretty into both of them, yeah.
I went Rush.
When playing Guitar Hero, the Tool songs were always the ones that I like. Those are the ones I practiced the most.
By the hand that beats. Yeah, yeah.
I know the pieces fit. Like, that song playing on Guitar Hero was just like, ugh.
It's fucking awesome.
Because it was long, and you'd kind of get lulled into a kind of, and then it would just fucking change up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard to get 100% on that song.
One of those songs that's three different songs.
Yeah. And it was long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What's New Pussycat is either playing for a second time, or it is much longer than I remembered.
It could be both.
So what are we going with? I'm going with Rush, I think I said.
Yeah, I picked Rush.
I'll go Tool.
Okay. Question number two. Anthrax or Slayer?
Oh, I listened to so much more Slayer than Anthrax. But I listened to a lot more Megadeth than I listened to Slayer.
Yeah.
And I listened to a lot more Metallica than I listened to Megadeth.
Sure. I feel like Anthrax and Slayer are two of the ones that I kind of didn't get around to. I think I listened to more Anthrax, though.
Jim something. There's this a stand-up comic that talks about being like dad
Jim
aged.
Jim Brewer,
yeah. Being dad aged and catching a Slayer concert, and that it's like,
yep,
the Battle of Helm's Deep. Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His whole bit on AC/DC is so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go Anthrax.
I'm going to go Slayer.
I'm sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, Slayer.
Right. I'm sure the context is going to be like, would you rather die of anthrax or be murdered by a serial killer?
Shit.
Are you more likely to kill someone in a sneaky way or more physical? Slayer.
Yeah, no, Jenna's totally a stabby.
Yeah.
Same.
I think Anthrax. All right, question number three. Rammstein.
Okay.
Or Sepultura.
Oh, man, Sepultura. Shit. Those are...
They're both good, but
that's
a
hard choice.
I gotta lean on Rammstein on this one.
There is a Ukrainian cover of Du Hast that is fucking phenomenal. I've heard a lot of people cover Rammstein. I don't think I've ever heard a Sepultura cover. So maybe that's how I decide. I think Rammstein is more accessible.
I think Rammstein is more accessible. God, they both got some good ones, but I think sheer volume of music that I listened to when I was a teenager is going to be Rammstein. And the live concert, the DVDs, like that was real good. That was a fucking great concert.
I have listened to a lot of both, but Sepultura was mostly what other people were playing. Where Rammstein is something that I myself put into the player. So it might have to be Rammstein anyway. But Sepultura is so good.
Oh, yeah, no, they're both fantastic. Yeah, yeah. I also, the song Seaman, with that bass line, I practiced the shit out of that song when I was in college.
That's so fucking cool.
It's such a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Rammstein!
I always wanted to learn the acoustic medley of Artifacts of the Black Rain from In Flames, because that's... that's not going to happen. Because, holy shit, but it is... It's fucking gorgeous, the acoustic medley from In Flames.
Apocalyptica.
Oh, shit!
I love Apocalyptica.
Does a... I can't remember which Sepultura song, but it is. Oh my god!
Now I'm fucking curious.
It is so good.
Might have to listen to that on the way home.
Yeah.
All
Right. Yeah, I got to go with Rammstein, though.
Yeah, I'll go Rammstein.
Yep.
Rammstein!
All right, question number four. Hip-hop?
Okay.
Or J-rock?
Oh, man.
What is J-rock?
Japanese rock and roll.
Oh, I don't think I know.
I think that's what he's referring to.
That's what I thought when I heard that. I assume that's a shitload
of J-rock.
I don't think I know any.
Well, and especially like in the late 90s, it was like the Japanese version of American butt rock.
What is American butt rock?
Just like Creed vocals and speed metal guitar. The opening to... not Sonic Shuffle, Sonic Adventure, I would say is...
That's kind of what I'm picturing.
That's J-rock. I may be thinking of the wrong...
I mean, that's what I'm thinking of, too. Yeah. So if we're both thinking the wrong thing, then that's what that is.
I'm going to go with hip-hop just because I don't know any J-rock or what it even is.
In the 1980s, I was listening to a shitload of the Fat Boys. I was listening to the Beastie Boys. A lot of people with boys in
Beastie
the name.
Beastie Boys is not Japanese.
No, for hip-hop.
I see what you're saying. Rap. Oh, sorry. I was like, what are you...
But like 1980s hip-hop and 90s rap weirdly proliferated even small cracker barrel towns.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the stuff that Snoop was doing at that point in time, it, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it was just bum bum bum
motherfucking D-O-G.
Bum bum bum. It was so chill and just like
yeah. Not like the stuff we have nowadays, the kids and their loud noises.
No, hip hop these days is all
mumble rap.
I fucking hate mumble rap.
Of course,
fucking
we're
hate
old
it.
And white. That's.
Like, I know, like, I go back and I'm like, you know, you go back, Biggie, Tupac.
Sure.
You know, Snoop. Yeah. Like, even Snoop.
Big Baby Jesus.
Snoop was chill, but he still was clear, and you could still tell that there was emotion. You know, he was chill. That was his vibe. And then you've got mumble rap just like... I'm so bored.
If only there were anything in the title that would caution you.
So bored.
That it's mumbly?
But it...
Get off my fucking lawn!
No, I crisscross. I gotta go hip-hop, because that shit hit hard for me.
Actually, I'm gonna go J-Rock, because I wish I had listened to more of it.
See, I listen to a lot of city pop because of old anime. Old anime has a fuckload of Japanese city pop in it. And so, that's one of the comfort things that I'll put on YouTube is like old city pop albums. Mm. There are a bunch of YouTubers that will just change albums over, just DJ a bunch of city pop. Mm-hmm. And it's weirdly soothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number five.
Five.
YouTube... or any other streaming service, i.e. Spotify, Deezer, Tidal.
Deezer. So I guess that's any other streaming service.
Deezer nuts.
Would podcast players be a streaming service that they would be referring to here?
I mean, you can get podcasts on a lot of streaming services, so I think any... I think that's a square and rectangle thing.
Oh, Pandora. I use Pandora. That's a streaming service. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with Pandora.
I use a shitload of Spotify. I also use a shitload of YouTube. But I use absolute fucking metric ton. Two ends and an E.
I'm guessing he's going with music here, though.
Yeah.
I have YouTube on all day.
Yeah.
Like, I... start work, I turn on YouTube in the background, and then YouTube just does its thing while I work. It's mostly Time Team and, you know, archaeology, because I've taught my algorithm well. but for music, I go to Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
unless I want a specific song, and then I'll go to YouTube.
I ended up transferring a bunch of my Pandora algorithm shit over to Spotify.
I tried Spotify. I just never liked it.
I like building playlists.
I've never heard of Deezer or Tidal.
I also like building playlists.
You definitely have heard of Deezer.
I've talked about it before.
Have we? Okay.
The podcast is on.
Yeah, I put our podcast on Deezer, and you went, that's a thing? And I said, yes, and then we talked about it at length.
And then made a Deezer's nuts joke.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would do.
It definitely was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Going back to question number one, Tool or Rush, which prog rock band do you appreciate more? If you had asked me 20 years ago, I would have said Tool. Now, I appreciate Rush more. Rush more. No.
I get it.
I respect the hell out of Tool, but I appreciate Rush. Yeah.
I would say Tool has... I hate to agree with the fucking idiot from the movie Fanboys, but Rush has a catalog with a lot of variety, or at least more variety than Tool. Tool has like the industrial sound. I almost feel like they're in industrial rock, but I think Stefan Senpai knows better than I do. So I would say, fuck, I guess Rush. Yeah, we're going Rush.
I have limited caring, actually. This is an area that I'm just not well-versed in. That's so. Fair.
All right, question number two, Anthrax or Slayer? Which thrash metal band do you appreciate more, if you've heard of either? I got to go Anthrax.
You appreciate them more?
I think I do, yeah. I think I got to go with Anthrax on this one.
I like Slayer's album covers. I also like Megadeth's album covers.
Megadeth?
Like, that's the kind of the classic metal album cover.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if Megadeth was in the mix here, Megadeth would have been the answer.
Pantera's got some good ones, too.
Pantera was so good.
I do remember Pantera, and I remember liking Pantera.
Pantera was so good. Rest in peace, Dimebag.
Yeah, again, this is another area I'm not well-versed in, and I have limited opinions.
I'm going to go... So it's Sepultura?
Anthrax or Slayer?
Anthrax or Slayer. Slayer.
Yeah. Okay. Question number three. Rammstein or Sepultura?
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Which foreign metal band do you think got more airplay on 93X in the late 90s?
Rammstein.
Sepultura is from Brazil, as I understand it. That is correct. They are. Mm-hmm. Not even knowing, I'm going to say Rammstein probably
that's
did.
That's the one that I knew of, especially. Yeah. And the other one, I think I heard...
Du Hast was the biggest fucking thing in the world.
One of them is a fucking household name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... I'm sorry. That's a... Yep.
Yep.
Good question. Easy answer.
Yeah. Question number four, hip-hop or J-rock? Which genre of music do you like more? Okay. Again, I don't even know what the other one, so I got to go hip-hop.
I have definitely listened to more hip hop.
That's not the question, though.
Which one do I like more? Yep. Might be hip hop.
Okay.
Especially like 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, none of it is Irish Early folk 2000s. Music, so
it
sure.
Kind of is.
The
Venn diagram
neither
has overlap.
Genre is actually Irish folk music, I don't know anything about it. Like,
no, but I mean, in the Venn diagram, like, there's the whole fuck the police in the middle.
I suppose there's that.
Yeah.
Hip hop and Irish folk, fuck the police, right there in the middle.
Danny died, so we're getting absolutely wasted and singing a song about his life. Yeah.
And damn, the police are arresting my friends and sending them to jail. Mm-hmm. So hip-hop and Irish folk have more in common than you thought, Jenna. So there.
Wait.
Huh.
Question number five, YouTube or any other streaming service, e.g. Spotify, Deezer, never heard of it, Tidal, etc. Which online service are you more likely to use to share music with other people?
Oh, shit, YouTube. Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's such a good question. Holy shit.
Only because not a lot of people are on Deezer. Is really my thing. Like, I moved to a platform that doesn't have a lot of people, so it's harder to share my stuff.
Yeah. If I need to share something, if I'm going to share something, I want to share something specific. And none of the other streaming ones, at least as far as I'm aware, they're all just like,
here's something that sounds
something that you might like.
No, that's mostly Pandora. Spotify, you can share very extremely specific things playlists, specific playlists. But I will say that YouTube has three advantages. One, Jenna already mentioned that fucking YouTube is incredibly accessible.
Yeah.
Two, it has a broader catalog. YouTube has a fuckload more than any one of the other streaming services has. And then the third one is you get a music video. If you're watching it on regular YouTube and not YouTube Music, you get the music video, and sometimes that's the best part.
Yeah, no, I gotta agree, YouTube. All right, closing thoughts. Tonight's Fast Five brought to you by the YouTuber Derek Brooks, who has made compilation videos of other YouTube channels reacting to music they've never heard before in genres they wouldn't typically listen to. I gotta hold on, parse this. Reacting to music they've never heard before.
Yes.
In genres. Okay, in genres they wouldn't typically. Okay, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Gross.
Sorry,
it took a second for you. Yep, that's okay.
My brain to catch up to what was actually being said here.
Several of those, like, so-and-so hears Master of Puppets for the first time. So-and-so, listens to Scatman for the first time. It's especially when somebody is a master of their particular genre, it can be super interesting to see what they hear. One of the better ones that I heard was a drummer, if I remember correctly, hearing a super famous rock or metal song for the first time and then attempting to completely recreate the drum track for it from memory, and he fucking nailed it. It was great. It was very cool.
Almost like he's at the top of his game.
Right. But it's amazing to see what mastery of something looks like.
Whether it be
love to see it making a teapot,
origami, or writing a symphony, like everything when you see a true master at work, it's a sight to behold. I love it. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and this is your warning,
we need more. Please send.
You have 1 week.
Yeah. Yes.
Seven days remaining.
Well, I mean, by the time they hear it, it'll be six. But that's beside.
Be like five or four.
Okay.
Four days.
There will be some amount of days that it'll is greater six. Than zero and less than seven.
Yeah, if it goes out Tuesday night.
No, wait, no, greater than zero and less than seven.
They hear it on Tuesday night. They might.
No, it's one plus two.
Okay. Yeah, Jesus there will Christ. Be a number of days less than seven that you have to write the next one. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Go to and if it's time-sensitive, you can say that. Yes. God damn it.
Go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit Fast 5, fill out the form. It's that easy.
Use the form.
Yeah, we've made it really fucking easy. So, yeah, do that. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
You know, I do.
No, I hate everybody and everything.
Yeah, it's Mint Jenna.
Yeah, better.
The callback, James.
Oh, give me a second, sure, I'll think of something.
Yeah. I want to thank the staff and volunteers of MiniCon, but very especially a super popular thing at that con was the Blinkies group that made all of the PC boards and assembled all the kit pieces and taught
hundreds of people to solder or refreshed their skills and put up, you know, 24 soldering stations and all of that. Like, holy fuck. Good work. And what a great experience.
Yes.
So, thank you.
I'm going to give my shout out to Jenna.
What?
I know, right?
What the fuck did I do?
You had a gentacular.
That's true.
I just hung out in my house. Joe did all the work.
Okay. The shout outs to Joe.
Good.
All right. That makes me feel better, too.
Okay. Yeah.
No, the Joe-tacular gentacular was a good time, and I enjoyed it immensely. Hanging out with Joe, eating Joe's food, hanging out with Joe.
Yeah, in Joe's house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Having Joe's hot sauce.
With Joe's significant other.
It is definitely Joe's hot sauce. Also, screw you.
Eat at Joe's.
Eat at Joe's.
Eat at Ho's. I need to give a shout out.
Hotel Coral Essex.
I'm going to give a couple of shout outs, actually. Listeners may remember that Come and Go is no longer going to be a thing. And so I was like, shit, now I have to go get a whole bunch of Come and Go sway.
Soon it will be Came and Left.
As long as we still have Pump and Munch.
It's not the same, though. But
that's why that's a different name.
Right, exactly.
Weird how that works.
But my friends, as they travel through Iowa, have been buying me Come and Go merch.
Oh, nice!
That's so
I'm
good.
I'm getting a collection. Oh. So a shout out goes to Josh.
Be worth money someday.
For the picnic blanket and the koozies.
Jesus.
And,
holy shit.
I think a few other things besides. And then a shout out goes to Ashley, who got me. Let's see, there was a hat, there was a travel mug, there was a little tote bag, a bottle opener.
Oh, fuck.
And then I got a message today from Robba that they found a Come and Go travel mug that says, "This is Joe's favorite mug," and it's got a picture of a dude, just super 50s white dude, like one of those vintage picture things, and he's holding a mug, and the mug says Come and Go on it. And then they also got themselves some koozies on top
of it,
because koozies. Me
koozie.
So yeah, thank you to everybody that has been buying me things for my Come and Go swag collection.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I may just take a picture of everything I have so far.
Artfully arranged.
I think they're phasing out Come and Go, and they'll be done by the end of this year.
Oh, wow.
If it doesn't step up sooner. So, if you happen to be traveling through Iowa, the one reason to be traveling through Iowa is to get you to a Come and Go. Make sure to buy some swag.
Get thee to a Come and Go.
Yes.
What do we think their new, equally accidentally filthy name is going to be?
It's not going to be. Like, it's the company that kind of bought them out, took them over, is going to be swapping with their main company thing.
Yeah, it's going to be something benign, like Suck and Blow or something.
Jesus Christ.
Slurp and Fill.
Yep. Dick and Lick. I mean, it'll be completely a nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So. Innocuous.
Anyway, I will take a picture of all of those items. But yeah, my shout out to those glorious people.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Does anybody have anything to plug? And does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you so very much to Stefan for sending in that Fast Five.
Senpai.
This could be your name right here in this spot. This could be you. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.